Well, let's pray and prepare our hearts for God's word. Father, I thank you that you are so gracious, merciful to us, Lord, that you always meet us here. You're so faithful. Lord, I just pray that you would use me tonight to speak your word. And I ask, Father, that our hearts would be open and receptive. Lord, that tonight we might be encouraged, that we might be inspired, Lord, to rise to a new level in you, to fulfill all that you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, don't you hate it when you watch a TV show and it kind of comes to a climax, but instead of wrapping it up, you get that message on the screen that says, to be continued. Don't you hate that? Well, tonight, the title of the message is to be continued. But you know, life is kind of that way, that it doesn't wrap up in a day usually, you know? I mean, I like for a TV show or a movie to wrap up where the good guy won, it's over and done with. I don't have to wonder. But, you know, a lot of times in life, one day is just a continuation into the next day. And we need to understand that as we serve God, as we follow the Lord, that there are some things that are to be continued. There are some things that we have to continue on in every day. In fact, I just got to tell you, it's amazing to me how many times I've heard people say, and I'm talking about churchgoers, all right? I've heard people say, I'm going to do this. And sometimes a year later, sometimes 2 weeks later, they no longer do that. It's amazing to me. I remember one lady came to me one time. She says, now, Pastor Mark, I know a lot of people left the church. This is back when we were going through a lot of transition. And she said, I just want you to know that I'm not ever going to leave. She was gone in 2 weeks. You know, I think her husband, because of his job, he couldn't come on Sunday morning, and they found a church that had a Saturday night service. And I understand that. But I'm just telling you, it's amazing to me how often people will say, I'm going to do this or I'm going to do that, and it doesn't last. And I'm telling you that if you're really going to serve God and follow the Lord, there are some things that you have to be faithful in. There are some things that you have to continue. You know, we live in this world that is always changing, and change is inevitable. It's just part of life. You're changing, whether you know it or not, whether you like it or not. Change just happens. And you know, there's many times that God wants us to change. In fact, the Christian life is all about change. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. God himself changes not, and his word is forever settled in heaven. But he's working on us. He's changing us. Amen. We talked about this one Sunday. Philippians 1:6 says that I'm confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And what that means is that God wants to continue to change us and work in us. It's a process. It's an ongoing process that he's still working on us. We haven't arrived yet, and we need to be pliable in his hands and allow him to change us where we need to. But there are also some things that we need to be steadfast in. There are some things where we just need to absolutely refuse to change. Now, you know, a lot of the time people get that way over religious tradition, and that's not what I'm talking about. But I'm talking about biblical principle. I'm talking about things that the Scripture teaches us to do. There are things that we need to be steadfast in. that we just won't change. Jesus said, when our Lord comes, we are blessed if he finds us doing what he told us to do. Now, you can talk about when he's coming, you can argue about when he's coming, and you can do all kinds of planning, but let me tell you what's important, that you're doing what he told you to do when he comes. That's the one that's going to be blessed. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 12 and 1 that we are to run our race with endurance. You got to run with endurance. You got to have perseverance. You got to have that character to just keep going, to not quit. In my younger days, I used to be really bold in my preaching. And see, some of you think I'm bold now. Well, yeah. I've gotten soft. I preached a message one time called, I think the title was Quitters, Liars, Sissies, and Other Christians. Something like that. It was harsh. But I'm just telling you that if you're really going to serve God and do all God has for you, you got to persevere. If you quit, if you back down, if you stop, you're not running your race well. You're not going to win. You're not going to overcome. You're not going to accomplish the things that God wants you to do in this life unless you persevere. You got to persevere in the things that matter. There's always going to be battles and obstacles and even opposition. And I'm telling you, the reason that so many fail is because they don't persevere. You know, we think about persevering. One worldly example of someone that persevered is Thomas Edison. They say that he made over 900 light bulbs that didn't work. And the way that he finally found the one that worked is he just wouldn't give up. He just kept trying, and it's a great example of perseverance that no matter what it took, he wouldn't stop. He just kept going, kept trying over and over again. Edison said that genius is 1% inspiration, 99% perspiration. And he was also quoted as saying, about 99% of it is the knowledge of things that will not work. He just kept trying, you know. He said he had 900 and something ways not to make a light bulb before he found the one that would. And, you know, the obvious principle for us here is to persevere, that you don't give up. You say, well, it does seem like it's working, but you keep going and you keep going and you keep going. But you know what? There's another little principle here that I think it's important for us to get. You know, when you walk in truth, you can't err to either side of the road or you end up in a ditch. You got to stay in the middle of the road of truth. And you see, sometimes we can go to the other extreme where we become so religious that we refuse to change. And here's what I want you to get. You see, I'm certain that of those 900 light bulbs, Edison didn't try the same one again. That would be not very smart, right? I mean, if it didn't work, he wouldn't do the exact same one again. But you know what? There's a lot of Christians that have been doing the same things for a lot of years. And I'm not talking about principles of Scripture. I'm talking about methods. I'm talking about just religious things, their way of doing it. A lot of times it's phrased like this, well, I was taught this, or I grew up thinking this. And a lot of times it's wrong and it's not getting them anywhere, but they keep doing it anyway. No, we need to be willing to change where we need to change. And I hope you understand that, because the rest of the message tonight, we're going to talk about being steadfast. We're going to talk about continuing in some things. But I want you to understand, we're only talking about things that are scriptural, things that the Bible tells us to do. See, I know that there are some who not here, okay, but I know there are some who think that the pastor's backslidden because he wore blue jeans tonight. Well, I never. And I'm just telling you that you can just go back a few years ago. You don't even have to go back like 100 years. Just go back 20, 30 years. And there's a whole big old long list of things that people said, well, I would never. I know my mother-in-law, our former pastor's wife, she said that she used to go to the minister's meetings and she would be the only one that was there with makeup on. Well, listen, it wasn't just the young women that started wearing makeup later. All of them did it. Well, virtually all of them. I shouldn't say all of them. Virtually all of them. And all I'm saying to you is that traditions and styles and methods can change. But the things of the Word of God, we have to hold fast to. So I'm going to give you 7 simple things tonight that you should continue in every day. These things are to be continued in your life if you're going to really live for God and really fulfill God's purpose in your life. Number one, you continue in prayer. Colossians 4:2, continue earnestly in prayer. That's pretty clear, isn't it? Being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Vigilant. You know what that means? That means you stay after it. You just keep doing it. You just keep on praying. You just won't back down. You won't stop praying. That if you don't have time to do anything else, you're going to have time to pray. Listen, it's been said that prayer is the heartbeat of Christianity. And let me tell you what that means, what we're talking about when we say that. You can't have a relationship with God without prayer. And Christianity, real Christianity, is all about a relationship with God. Prayer is how we communicate with Him. It's how we talk to Him. Let me tell you something else. It's also how we get His help. You know what? There's a lot of people that say, why doesn't God do this? And why doesn't God do that? But they don't pray. And God waits until, listen, see, religious people even, not just the world, even religious people, there's a lot of garbage doctrine out there that says, oh, well, God's just going to do what He wants to do. No, that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that God answers prayer, prayed in faith, and He waits for somebody to pray. Prayer is so powerful. Things change when you pray. Prayer avails much. Great power in prayer, because prayer is what brings God's power. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says to pray without ceasing. That means you pray all the time. All the time. Now, it's not really that hard to do if you just start talking to God about life. But you know what? You need that opportunity or that time alone with the Lord every day. Start your day. Pray about your day, about what you have to do that day. Pray for your loved ones. Pray for your neighbors. Pray for your boss, your coworkers. Pray for your pastor. And don't forget to pray, according to Matthew 5:44, for those who spitefully use you. You know why we have such a hard time loving our enemies? Because we don't pray for them enough. Pray for those who spitefully use you. See, you start praying for the good, the bad, and the ugly, and I'm telling you, you're going to have a lot of things to pray about. Pray. The Lord, pray about the harvest. And how did He say to pray about it? That the Lord would send laborers into the field. Jesus said, pray, the Lord will send laborers into the field. Pray for our country. I'm telling you, if we could get Christians to pray half as much as they gripe. By the way, it's a scary thing when people complain because it's a bad sin. Read the Bible. When people complain, God doesn't like it. Y'all got real quiet on me. But you know what you are supposed to do is pray. Now, when you pray, don't just complain. No, you pray not with complaining, but with thanksgiving. Oh, so much that we need to pray for. Pray for God's direction in your life, that He would lead you and guide you. Pray for His strength, whatever you're facing, that He'll be your source and supply of strength. Pray for wisdom. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally and doesn't hold back. You see, so many great promises in the Scripture that are available to us through prayer. Oh, how could we not use that one every day? Because I'm telling you, we all need wisdom every day. If you've got kids, you need wisdom. If you've got teenagers, you especially need wisdom. Listen, you got a job, you need some wisdom. I'm just telling you, you need wisdom to drive in DFW. Every day we should be asking God for wisdom, praying about the things that make us anxious. Why should a Christian ever be anxious when we know the one who holds it all in the palm of His hand? Listen, the wind and waves still know His name. I'm telling you, there's not anything going on in your life that He's not big enough to handle. Philippians 4:6 tells us to be anxious, be made known unto everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes understanding, will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. So those things that would trouble you, the things that make you anxious or upset, He says, don't be anxious or upset, but instead pray. I'm just telling you, it's not hard to pray without ceasing when you really consider life and all that it brings. 1,000 things to pray about every day. And without it, our efforts can just fail. We need the blessing of God every day. So I encourage you to make prayer your top priority. Number two, continue in the Word. John 8:31 in the King James Version, Jesus said, if you continue in My Word, then are you My disciples indeed. The New King James, it says it this way. Jesus said to those Jews who believed in Him, if you abide in My Word, if you live in it, see, if you stay in it, you are My disciples indeed. See, don't just dabble in the Word of God. Be a student of the Word. Stay in it. Continue in it. Not just for a little while, but stay in it. Let me tell you what sets apart those who are nominal Christians, those who are Christians in name only, and those who are true followers of Jesus Christ. It's those that stay in the Word. According to Jesus, continue in My Word. Then you are My disciples indeed. That's what divides between those who are just playing church and those who are serious about following Jesus. You stay in the Word. You abide in the Word. You continue in the Word. It needs to be a lifestyle for us that we stay in the Word. Listen, it's the Word of God through which we get wisdom many times. It's the Word of God that leads and guides us, and the Holy Spirit speaks to us. It's the Word of God that builds our faith. It's the Word of God that shows us how to live and what we need to do. And it's the Word of God. Staying in the Word is the key to being blessed. James 1:25 says, he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. You see, so often we can hear the word of God, and then we can embrace it. We can say, oh, that's good, that's good. But then we forget it, and it doesn't have any real life-changing power in our lives because we just walked away from it. No, you got to stay in it. You got to continue in it. I'm just telling you that the key, we talked about this just a couple of weeks ago, the key so often to your victory, it starts with a word from God. You got to get a hold of the word and stick with it. Just don't let go. You stay in the word. And you see, when you really stay in the word, he says, him not being a forgetful hearer, but a doer. See, here's part of the key to doing the word of God. You don't forget it. And how do you not forget it? You continue in it. You stay in it. And if you stay in it, then you'll be a doer. And he says, this one is blessed in what he does. You want to be blessed as a parent? Continue in the word. Just stay in the word. Stay in the word. That's what'll bring the blessing. John 15 and 7, Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. Now that verse kind of combines the first two we've talked about. Man, when you get the word inside of you and then you pray, that's powerful. Number three, continue in brotherly love. It's Hebrews 13, 1. Let brotherly love continue. You know, brotherly love is that family kind of love, but it's talking here in this context, it's not talking about you're four no more. It's talking about the family of God. And he says, let brotherly love continue. I think that in the church culture in America, this is something that is slipping away. In foreign lands where there's a lot of persecution and people really need the brothers, I'm telling you that there's a lot more of that brotherly love. But in the church in America, there's so many that, well, they go to a church like it's an event. Church is not an event. Church is a body. It is a group of people. And we are family. And the Bible says, let brotherly love continue. That is that kind of love where you consider one another as our own, that we are family. It's that affectionate, hugging kind of love. How we need that kind of love in the body of Christ, where we depend on each other, we help one another, we care for one another, we bear one another's burdens. It's supposed to be continued. And if you don't continue it, I'm telling you, it will limit God's purpose in your life. Because this is the way he designed the church and the way he designed us, is that we are members one of another. Let brotherly love continue. Today, this generation, they seem to be able to just walk away. What a sad thing. No, we got to let brotherly love continue. Don't stop loving. Remember, the command of Jesus is to love one another. Next, we have to continue in the faith. Acts 14, 22, strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, and saying, we must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God. Now, I got to tell you, there's always going to be many tribulations. There's always going to be a lot of problems. There's always going to be a lot of challenges. You got to continue in the faith in the face of challenges and obstacles and problems. If all it takes is a test, a trial, if all it takes is getting your feelings hurt to get you to give up, you're not going to last very long. No, you need to make up your mind, nobody or nothing is going to take away my walk with the Lord and my purpose and my service for God. Continue in the faith, trusting God, believing Him every day. I think it's talking about our whole relationship with God when He says continue in the faith. But I also think that He's talking about those areas where we're believing God. We need to just keep on believing. We need to continue in faith. Listen, without faith, it's impossible to please Him. So it's something we need to be living every day, continuing in the faith, standing on the promises of God's word, always trusting Him, always looking to Him in faith. Next, continue in the work of the Lord. Okay, well, you got to start before you can continue, but 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable." Here's where you need to be immovable. Always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Steadfast, immovable. I was ministering at a church one time. Well, I pastored a church one time. I'd been there just a very short time, and I preached from the New International Version. And I noticed the man that I didn't recognize a few rows back, and after the service, I walked back to greet him. And he said, "Why are you preaching from that Bible? Why aren't you preaching from the King James?" And me being kind of young and foolish, I thought he was kidding. And I said something like, "If it's good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for us, huh?" And he said, "That's right." And just so you know, in case you don't know, the King James Bible was written 1,600 years after Jesus, all right? But anyway, this is a good example of how some people are, "I'm steadfast, immovable." This guy didn't even go to church regular. He didn't do anything for God. Didn't serve God, didn't love God. Lived like a heathen. But he's rebuking me over using something beside the King James Bible. Steadfast, immovable. Here's what you're supposed to be steadfast, immovable in. The work of the Lord. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. Always abounding. You know what that means? A lot. Not a little. Not a dabble. Always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. In other words, it's making a difference. Sometimes you may not see it. You may not be able to tell right now, but I'm telling you, in eternity, you're going to know that it was not in vain. That it was fruitful and blessed. Got to read it one more time. Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. God gives the increase. We plant, we water, and He gives the increase. Now, I don't know about you, but I've had plenty of opportunities to stop, to give up. Not one that I can tell my Lord. We need to be busy about our Father's business. And when we do that, it's amazing how we don't find time to gossip, to criticize, to judge. Now, some people think that's their ministry. They think they got a gift. Well, that's one gift the Lord wouldn't mind if you just buried it. That's not a gift. That's a curse. That's a sin. Judgment and gossip and a critical spirit, that's all a sin. No, what we need in the body of Christ is more people that'll be busy working, serving, doing all they can do, abounding in the work of the Lord. This is something we got to continue in. The enemy's always working against us, trying to sideline us, trying to get us to sit down, trying to get us to stop witnessing, stop serving, stop planning, stop watering. Jesus said in John 4:34, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." Jesus was saying, my food, see, he was saying, this is what sustains me. This is what fulfills me, is to do his will and to finish his work. We need that same kind of an attitude that, you know what, when it's all said and done, we live for this, to be used of God, to make a difference in eternity. Continue in the grace of God. I just want to touch on this one. Acts 13:43 says, "When the congregation had broken up, many of the Jews and devout proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God." Now, you know, it was a real obvious thing for them, because here these Jews and these proselytes, they had been living under the law. And so to convert to Jesus Christ and to receive the gospel of grace was a real life change. And Paul was encouraging them not to let go of it, but to stick with it. In Galatians, he writes much about how that some had tried to change the gospel. And the reason I bring it up tonight is because it is still true in our day, in our time, that there is a real draw and temptation and battle to go back into a works mentality, where we feel like that, well, I was good today, so today I'm close to God. Well, today, I said something to my wife I shouldn't have, or I got mad and called those other drivers stupid. Now I don't feel close to God. He's far away. I'm just telling you, we need to stick with grace. Continue in grace. Realize that it's only by grace you've been saved, and it's only God's grace working in you that makes you anything at all. And it's only God's grace working through you that helps you to be able to minister to anybody and to make a difference in somebody's eternity. So stay in grace. Continue in grace. Don't look to your strengths and your goodness and your righteousness, but instead look to God's grace. And last, continue to praise God. Psalm 34:1 said, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth." Is his praise continually in your mouth? Listen, if you complain, you're not praising. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. See, it's an affront to God when we complain, when we need to realize how much he's done for us and that he is worthy of our praise all the time. And we need to always be praising him, just thanking him. Amen, amen. Oh, I'm thankful. We had some weather tonight, but I'm thankful that we didn't have any real damage or anything. I praise God for that. Amen. Answer to prayer. But just every day, all day long, don't take things for granted, but thank the Lord and let his praise just continually be in your mouth. All these things, I tell you, and there's many more, are to be continued. If we don't continue them, then we will not see the end of the story the way that it was supposed to be. You want to see the victory? You want to see all that God wants to do in your life and through your life? I'm telling you, you got to continue in these things. Well, stand with me. Let's pray. Oh, Father, we acknowledge that we cannot do it on our own. But with your strength and your help, we cannot fail. And so, Father, we're going to pray every day. We're going to ask for your help every day. Lord, that we will be faithful. Lord, that we will persevere. And we won't ever give up. We won't back down. We'll keep moving forward. And I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. I love you. Greet one another in the Lord. Just be a blessing to somebody. Amen.